This is the first week of the filing period for candidates who want to run for office in 2020. Number of local candidates already getting their names on the ballot, including Greg Meyer, who represents Orange County in the State House of Representatives, filed to run for re-election to his seat representing the same district, but it's going to be a differently drawn district in 2020 thanks to the recent round of state-level redistricting. Representative Meyer joins us here now in the studio. Thanks for being with us. How are you?
Thank you. Glad to be back, and I'm looking forward to running for re-election.
So, first of all, tell us about the re-election bid. What are you hoping to accomplish in the next 2 years?
Well, I mean, I've been in the legislature since 2013. This will be running for my fifth term, which is hard to believe. I would like a term in the majority. There's a lot of good that we could do for the state of North Carolina, from independent redistricting, fully funding public schools, expanding Medicaid, and reducing health care costs to the average consumer. Addressing the needs of rural North Carolina, such as addressing rural broadband and doing some good rural economic development. I mean, there's so many things. I've got a long list of bills that Republicans haven't even been willing to hear, and I want the chance to be able to put some of those things into law and set some priorities for the state.
What does the redistricting mean for you as a candidate? You're campaigning in different parts of the state, essentially.
My district actually didn't change at
all.
Did
it not change?
No,
okay.
My district changed in the previous redistricting lawsuit before the 2018 election. And I, after my initial district was Orange and Durham counties, and then I switched to Orange and Caswell,
right.
But in this election, my district doesn't change.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are, I withdraw that question. You are actively working to recruit candidates for statewide races across North Carolina. How is that affecting?
I am. I'm co-chairing the House Democrats Campaign Committee, and we're in the filing period still looking for candidates. In 2018, we had a first-time ever occurrence of having someone run for every legislative seat in the state. Both Democrats and Republicans, well, Democrats had 170, so we filled every race, and Republicans had 169, pretty darn close. That's great. People should have somebody to vote for in both parties in every election. We really want a Democrat to run everywhere, but it's hard to find Democrats to run in areas that are heavily Republican. So we're probably at about, for the House, between 90 and 100 candidates. There's 120 seats to fill. We got 2 weeks to get him on board, so we're working towards that 120 number.
Is there any difficulty with redistricting, trying to get candidates to run in specific districts?
Well, it made it much harder for us to recruit this year because the maps weren't finalized until just a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And so there were some places where we weren't really able to recruit until we knew what we were dealing with, so it compressed the timeline. The big thing is the maps are still gerrymandered, and it doesn't take much for a smart person to look at the map and look at the numbers and say, why would I run for this? I'm going to lose. And we kind of turn that around on people and say, look, besides winning, what else do you want to do for your community through your campaign? If you can bring people together, if you can give them someone to vote for, if you can get your opponent to agree with you on some issues that they'll go back to Raleigh and work on those issues, then you can make a difference even if you don't win the election. So it takes a special person to do that. We're very happy with a lot of the people around the state who are stepping up.
And it's also kind of building the party for future elections too, right?
For sure. That's right. You want to have a bench and you want to have, leadership everywhere. And then we've also got about 14, 15 flippable seats in the North Carolina House where we really need a top-tier candidate who's going to go out and work their butt off and try and flip a seat like we did in 2018. And some of those folks are really exciting.
Speaking with State House Representative Greg Meyer, again, filing period going on right now. He has filed to run for re-election. A lot more people filing as the period goes on. In the meantime, the work of being a legislator goes on, and you just introduced or are planning to introduce the 2019 Safe Drinking Water Act?
So we introduced a new Safe Drinking Water Bill. We can't officially put it into the record until we get to next year's short session, but it's something that's a pressing issue in that we wanted to do, along with legislators, I think from 20 other states, we all introduced Safe Water Drinking Act bills this week. Here in North Carolina, we've had contamination of drinking water by coal ash, emerging contaminants, chemical spills, a lot of places around the state in the last few years. And so we wanted to tighten up the authority to regulate what's in our water. So the bill would set some new limits on certain contaminants in water and would allow the state to add limits on contaminants that show up in at least two other states, even if they haven't shown up in North Carolina. So that's a little bit of prevention, where normally we've only put things in place after we've had a spill. But this would say, like, okay, this other state had this new thing that we've never seen in water before. Let's get ahead of that and let's set our own limits on that because it's been seen somewhere else.
And that was a big deal in Wilmington with
Gen X,
right?
That's right. Yeah. But it's what we call an emerging contaminant, meaning it is a new chemical that we've never seen polluting our water before. And so you couldn't say to the company that you shouldn't put that in the water because we didn't even know what it was. It's a real loophole in the law, and we're trying to get around, to close that loophole a little bit.
Would the state have more authority to regulate a chemical if it happens for the first time here as opposed to in some other state?
No.
Okay.
That is still something that we have to get to, that our law doesn't have a provision because we don't require chemical companies to report all the new things that they're trying, basically.
Yeah. And that's the scary thing with Gen X, right? This happened and all of a sudden this thing was in the water and who even knows what it was
what
it did, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Speaking with State Representative Greg Meyer, other things on your plate as we get to the end of the year. I know everyone here in Chapel Hill is talking about still the deal between the UNC Board of Governors and the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Not directly related to state government, but state government does have control over the Board of Governors.
That's right. I mean, that's the connection, right?
Like, yeah.
So when we got the announcement from the university that this deal had been struck, I immediately responded to the university legislative liaison, their government affairs folks, and asked the question, where is this $2.5 million coming from? Got the answer that they've released publicly, that it's coming from non-state appropriated funds. But it's still coming from funds that would be available for something else at the university. I can think of everything else that I would want $2.5 million to be spent on than giving it to a neo-Confederate group. This is absolutely absurd. And I'm really glad people on campus are getting fired up about it. I hope alumni will speak out about this. We have to take control of the legislature back and get rid of this Board of Governors. I mean, a Board of Governors that would take $2.5 million of money that could be used for education and give it to the Sons of Confederate Veterans does not deserve to run this university.
And including a lot of the things that have been advocated for on campus that people have been told, no, we don't have the money for this specific thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, we just went through a release of, you know, new findings and report on sexual assaults on campus, which has been something that has delayed additional resources. You know, there could be pay raises. There could be a reduction of the cost of attendance so people, you know, could go to school more cheaply. I can think of anything to spend the money on that's better than this $2.5 million. It's absurd to me.
Other issues that you're thinking about, worrying about right now?
In Caswell County, a little bit north of most of your listeners, but part of my district, there's a number of applications to put in some new industrial work sites. Caswell is a very rural county, and actually it's the county in the state that has the largest number of acres of hunting and fishing game lands. And so the people up there really have a very specific rural way of life and really like to protect nature. They like to live in a natural area. And there's a proposal for a massive quarry as well as a couple of asphalt plants. And I'm working with a really engaged group of citizens who are trying to protect their natural area, their drinking water, their air, and see if they can keep these things out of their community. So I've been spending a lot of time with that. I'll be up there tomorrow morning to be in their holiday parade, and I'm sure I'll talk to people a bunch about that while I'm up there.
Awesome. Well, enjoy the holiday parade. Good luck with the conversation and the ongoing issue. Any thoughts about possibly special sessions between now and the short session beginning?
Well, we have an adjournment date until January 14th, which is still an extension of this year's long session.
Right.
So long session is not officially over. We'll come back on the 14th and see where we're at. Short session doesn't really start until sometime in April or May, probably May, I think. So I don't really know what our legislative calendar will look like next year. I don't know if we're coming back on January 14th for one day or for the rest of the year. Really, I think everybody wants to get past the filing and then check in January and see where heads are. And if there's once we're through candidate filing, if there's any room for compromise on some things like our budget impasse, then maybe we can sit down and get to work in January. But I'm not too hopeful about that. I think 2020 is going to be a really long election year. Hopefully we don't have to spend a lot of time in legislative session because I don't think we'll get a lot done. But I think that the election year is going to prevent us from getting agreement on things that are priorities to me and to Governor Cooper, like Medicaid expansion and fully funding public schools.
We'll keep following all of that. State Representative Greg Meyer, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.